I did a study in South Texas where they weren't hunted, and I had some coyotes that were 12, 13 years old that were still territorial. That's
Dr. Julie Young, a wildlife biologist at the National Wildlife Research Center's field station in Millville, Utah. If you didn't catch the name of the animals she studies, well, they're about to say hello.
Oh, they're howling. Someone wants to start again.
Right now, you might be wondering what all these dozens of coyotes are all howling about. What are they saying to each other, if anything? As it turns out, Young and her team of researchers has pondered the same question and is still vexed by the mystery.
Trying to learn. We had a study going on. We recorded howls for a year, and we have a weather station on site. And so we're trying to look at correlations between weather patterns and howling and if there's any association there. We had that student that looked at to see if there's any correlation between human interaction and howling, and there's not. So we're still trying to learn. There's been some other studies done with wild coyotes, and it's just really hard. Other than knowing that it's a long-distance communication tool, we're not really sure what kind of starts it or if there is a particular cue. It is typically the one that once one starts, the rest chime in.
Howling aside, coyotes are an alluring subject of study for researchers. Sharon Paisel is a PhD student at Utah State, and she is studying the recent trend of coyotes moving into urban areas such as Denver.
You'll see some pens built out. Some of them are built to simulate an urban environment, and some are built out to be a natural environment, so they have plants and trees and shrubs. The urban environment pens are, we just built some wooden structures, and we put some trash cans and some lights in there, trying to make it look like a city, sort of. And I'm just testing to see which pen a coyote will choose, if he'll choose the urban or the natural pen.
Paisel theorized early on that the coyotes might simply favor environments with more food. But oddly, that logic hasn't held true.
Preliminary results of that are showing that the coyotes are not affected by food. Once they pick a pen they like, that's the one they stay in. I only have two more animals left, and I can analyze all the data, so I'm not sure yet why they would pick that pen over the others. I'm hoping that it's not because of where the pens are in location in relation to the other coyotes surrounding them, but I don't know. Don't know yet.
Young says the station's ability to facilitate projects like Paisel's is what draws researchers from around the world.
I don't know if you met the two French interns. We had the student this summer that did the howling experiment. He was from Exeter in England. We have a student that works here from University of Chicago. So we have people come from all over to do stuff because we're really the only, that I know of, the only captive coyote facility that focuses on research.
It's clear that coyotes, at once beloved and bemoaned, are animals of unique intelligence. And while there are clear benefits to studying them, Young wants to make sure their captivity isn't in vain.
For me, my biggest concern is making sure that when people say, well, why does this place exist, we can justify it. And we also, I also have a rule that every coyote needs to be used on a study every year. Otherwise, why are we keeping them in captivity? So to me, that's the biggest issue, but I can make that my biggest issue because I'm a research scientist and I have this amazing staff that takes care of the animal welfare.
For Utah Public Radio, I'm Ryan Cunningham.